This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Australia's number one award-winning show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self.
Hide and seek.
Visit joy.org.au/hide and seek. Good evening, and welcome to Hide and Seek, your show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self. My name's Dean Beck, and thank you very much for joining me tonight. Tonight, we have a very interesting show for you, and it's not for everybody. I accept that. So if you're a little sensitive to the more adventurous side of gay men's sex, then perhaps you should go and listen to something else. But if you are at all interested in the ancient erotic art of fisting, tonight is your show, can I just tell you? We have a man here with us who is very keen on the subject. He also organises and runs for Club 80, the party called Zone Red. And Warwick Emmanuel will join us to discuss that and a few other things a little later in the program. And we'd like to hear from you. We'd like to know what is on your mind, and perhaps you'd like to contribute to the show. If you'd like to do that, get in contact with us.
Somebody answers the phone.
Call 1-300-JOY-949.
Somebody answers the phone.
Email onair@joy.org.au. SMS 0427-JOY-949. Have your say and connect with your community. Joy 94.9.
But to get us warmed up, I thought I would share with you a little conversation that I had with Scott Brennan, Toby and Adam, and they are, of course, Talkin' Puffy. They invited me on to an episode to talk about fisting. It was episode 83 of the Puffcast, and I thought it might get us going for tonight. So have a listen to this.
The real reason we've got you in here is because we're exploring our kinky sides.
Yes.
And you're the boss. You're the boss of weird shit.
Yeah.
Well,
you know it.
Although it's not weird to him, I guess.
I know. It's, look, we've covered this. I have sex through a hole in the sheet once a year, whether I need to or not.
Yes.
Just to keep my hand in. So it's confronting to me. I'm sure it's very normal
well,
for
can
a lot
I
of
just
other people.
Say, speaking of keeping your hand in.
You have really lovely slender hands.
Oh,
oh
no.
He's coming on to you.
We wanted to talk to you specifically. Now that you bring it up. Should have worn fucking mittens. We want to talk to you until you said that. We wanted to talk to you about fisting.
Fisting!
Yes. It's a thing, right?
It is a thing.
Well, it's my thing. Very much, yeah.
Shit.
Toby was recently, we discovered, shocked that there was such a thing as rimming.
Oh, dear.
Oh, wow. We've got a long way to go, Dean.
Yeah, so you got to start from first principles.
So fisting is something you're totally into. You love it.
Yeah. Right. It's my thing.
It's your thing.
Yeah.
At the top or at the bottom or all
both.
Kinds?
Both.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What do you mean at the top? What do you mean?
Well, being the fister or being the
fister. Oh, right.
You can be a top or bottom of fisting.
Right. Okay, sure.
Some people don't want to do the other one.
Yes.
All right. Let's start with some basic beginner's questions. Mm-hmm. Right. What's the difference between just a vigorous finger and a fist?
A vigorous finger.
Well, Toby, a vigorous finger is a cocktail. And
that was the Talking Puffy team on episode 83. I've got another little grab to share with you. Warwick Emmanuel joins us. Warwick, they're a funny crew, but happy International Fisting Day.
Thank you, Dean.
I had no idea.
Neither did I until this morning. But I've been celebrating all day.
I didn't know there was such a thing. I mean, it's great that there is, I guess. What are your thoughts?
Do we celebrate by...
I'm not sure. But happy International Fisting Day nonetheless.
Joy is proud to bring you this community message.
This is the fabulous Adam Richard. You're tuned to Hide and Seek. Is that how they say it in the bit? Hide and Seek. I think it's a show about fisting. I'm not sure. Anyway, Joy 94.9. I'll never play that one.
Hide and Seek. Joy 94.9.
Well, tonight it is a show discussing fisting. We're with Warwick Emanuel. He organises Zone Red with Club 80. Warwick, tell us why Zone Red and how it came about.
I've been in fisting for about 5 years, and in Melbourne there's a very strong fisting community, and quite a few people that I spoke with wanted to have a group party. There'd previously been group parties at 80 and they'd stopped, and so I really wanted to re-establish an event where people could get together again.
And your personal connection, you said it's a more recent, 5 years, yeah. In your sexual evolution, yeah. That's more recent. Mm. How did that come about, and how come you grabbed it with both hands? Sorry for the pun. there might be a few of those tonight.
About 20 years ago in Sydney, I went to an S&M demo type expo event.
Yep.
And there was a couple doing a fisting demo. And it was something that really intrigued me. And there was electricity, for want of a better word, around them.
Sure, sure. Yep. And I guess, was that your first time of seeing it?
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. So that sparked something.
Yeah. Yep. And I put it away. I was in a relationship that wasn't going to be happening. And I put it away. And about 5 years ago, I decided to take up a hobby. And I thought, well, I'll take up fisting.
You know, I've just been doing a little bit of homework on International Fisting Day, which is today, October 21, and it came about by a couple of porn stars who their movie was banned for the US censorship laws, and a whole sort of community emerged around that saying this is a practice that has been forced underground, I guess, to an extent because of censorship laws, yet it is something that we celebrate and want to start talking about. Someone's written a blog post called The Five Fisting Tips for a Happy International Fisting Day. The first rule of fisting is do not talk about fisting. And that's part of the problem, isn't it?
Yes, people don't talk about it. Yeah, definitely.
And there's a lot of shame and stigma and all of that that's thrown into that space.
I think fetishes generally aren't spoken about.
Totally.
People see them as being strange and don't understand them, and so it's not really spoken about. And that's not just fisting. I think it's a lot of fetishes.
Mm, mm.
Yeah.
Have you personally experienced any of that?
No, I haven't. No, not really. I haven't. Nothing particularly negative.
Yeah, I mean, one of the reasons that I started this very show more than 6 years ago was because I was sick of gay men apologising for their sexuality.
Right.
And I experienced, I guess, at a time around 28, when I sort of came into my own understanding of who and what I was and all of that, where a whole group of friends sort of thought that I'd gone weird and walked away. And I guess that in a way is that, if you like, slut shaming, whatever you want to call it. And there's elements of that, you know, in all subsections of our community that you don't have to poke too deep to see it come to the surface.
No, that's probably true. You know, comments, say, on Facebook, for instance, where somebody will say something about somebody's sexuality or practices, and you don't have to poke too far.
And I guess the flip side of that is those that connect in a way that then starts to form its own kind of community.
I think so. I think I mentioned before that Melbourne has a really strong fisting community, and people join together in their practices and support each other as well.
Absolutely. And that, I guess, goes internationally. I mean, you get an experience of that international network if you connect to the fisting community?
I had an email from somebody in Austria not so long ago. They'd heard about Zone Red, for instance, and were wishing us well and looking forward to coming to Melbourne to be able to come to a party. So the community isn't just local.
And it's not just gay men 60 years and over.
No.
I mean, there are straight men that like being fisted by their wives and girlfriends. And I see that perhaps as an emerging thing, and it's probably been around since the year dot two. But what was once considered an old gay man's pursuit certainly is not anymore.
A lot of the community is younger guys.
Do you see that reflected in those that come to your event?
Yes, we have a really wide age range, early 20s up to 70s, so and everyone in between. So yes, it is reflected, and also that people party together. Yeah, it's not so much age groups staying together and so forth. So yeah,
I guess whenever you put on an event of a sexual nature, regardless of what it is, there are parameters. What are your parameters for your event?
We've got a frequently asked questions list on the club80.net website that details the expected behaviour.
And give us a sort of an idea of what that is.
I guess it starts with demonstrating respect in no means no, stop means stop, those sorts of things.
So that's kind of about consent, isn't it?
It's about consent through to alcohol and drug use and appropriate behaviour in the party environment, yeah?
And how do you manage that?
The group manages itself.
Kind of self-polices, sort of.
Well, no, I don't even know that it's policing.
Okay,
The parties work because people are respectful.
Right.
And to be a fister, you really have to be respectful. It won't work if you're not.
Not everyone gets that, though, do they?
No, they don't.
Let's talk about that. I guess how do we get it across that, it's a very different place to be playing in for all sorts of reasons, not the least of which is one's own individual health and safety. But, you know, like all things, there are some people that are like a bull in a china shop, and that happens. How do you as an individual, or how would you suggest someone handles that situation?
The person has to be clear that they're I think playing with somebody that they trust, mm-hmm. and if they're not sufficiently skilled, I don't think they should be playing with somebody that they don't trust. The probably worst I've had to do is probably kick somebody away because they were going like a bull in a china shop.
Sure.
And it wouldn't take no. But then I was sufficiently skilled to be able to deal with that, yeah?
Yeah, but I guess, those who are empowered in their own sexuality are. Not everyone's quite there yet.
I think developing skills when you're learning about fisting, it's really important to be playing with people that you trust, but also people that are skilled. People who are skilled fisters can impart so much to somebody who's wanting to learn, yeah? And I would think it would be unwise to be doing it any other way myself.
That passing on of knowledge is something that I was fortunate enough to have experienced. And I guess it's why I sort of fell into doing the seminars and workshops that I've done over the years. And we've got some very exciting news about those, which I'll share for you later. But that passing on of knowledge also empowered me as a sexual being, I guess. And it's driven me to do this show. And it's driven me to run the forums, and it's, I think that there is a bit of that mental role that is played in this realm, perhaps more so than others. I mean, there is in some fetish communities, and we're seeing it become more and more so. but we've got to be respectful of the fact that we lost a generation and we lost a lot of information during that process.
Indeed, yeah. When I first started to want to learn about it, I started asking questions online, and I was really blown away by the support that people, that men offered me. I was really, really empowered, and I was quite blown away by how generous men were in helping me to learn.
I've got to say, in that online space, 10 years ago when I sort of started putting these workshops and things together, I found some of the information might be fine for the individual, and everyone's different, but there was other information that was just wrong, you know, in my opinion. Over the years, I've seen that evolve, and there's some absolutely fantastic info pages on websites that is, I guess over the years, contributed by multiple people to get quite a body of work that is really good info, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
There's got to be a bit selective about where you find it, but
there's some great stuff around. There is, And really, again, when you've done your research, when you've done some reading, what better way to progress than to actually speak with somebody about it?
And indeed, that, I find, is the most powerful thing, because when I went to the first workshop, it was delivered by two people who had done it, but it wasn't their thing, right? And I made a bit of a complaint at the end of it, and I said, it's clear that they've done it before, but it's quite clear also it's not their thing. And that information should be imparted by someone who is passionate about it because it is their thing. What are your thoughts?
Yes, definitely, definitely. You need to be passionate to be able to, I think, impart the really fine nuances of the art of fisting. I use the expression, anyone can whack in a fist.
Yeah.
But that's not the same as being skilled, being in tune with the person that you're playing with.
Connected.
Having a connection. And in some way also being spiritually connected as well.
Now, let's talk about that, because interestingly, the first book written for gay men about fisting was called Trust. That was the title of the book. And it touched quite extensively on the spiritual nature of fisting. When you say that to some people, they burst into laughing. But I describe it as the most sexual and erotic thing a man can do that is not involving genitals.
Sure. Sure.
And for men alone, that is a hard concept to grasp.
Yes, indeed. It is. It is. I can talk about my experience of that spiritual stuff, where a partner and I are engaged in fisting, and there's a lack of distinction between him and me. There's a kind of melding, if you like, and where working together but as one. I've had kind of almost out of body experiences, not on drugs, just from what was happening.
At oneness.
I tend to get it more if I'm topping than if I'm bottoming, and I don't know whether that's just me, but I can be taken somewhere quite amazing by the person that I'm playing with. They're giving me that. It's not that I'm taking it. Yeah, it's an interesting thing. And the bottom has to want to give me that. And when it happens, it's really mind-blowing.
We're listening to...
Hi, this is Dr. Pamela Stevenson-Connolly, and you're listening to Hide and Seek, the only program about sex, sexuality and self on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. Today is International Fisting Day. I had no idea until I started preparing for this show. My guest is Warwick Emanuel. He is the guy who's running Zone Red at Club 80, and it's an intimate space for private fisting parties held in the basement of Club 80. Why is it at 1 o'clock? It's once a month, isn't it?
Once a month.
1 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon.
Yes.
Doesn't sound like the perfect time for me.
It gives you the opportunity to go out in the evening.
Oh, fantastic. Lovely.
Yeah. It's perhaps a strange time, but then it does provide the rest of the evening. And often some of the people that are at the party will continue playing on upstairs later on, yeah. But often the party's going and people are winding up. They've mm-hmm. had enough.
Yeah.
It seems to work.
Okay.
And just as many probably people are happy to play during the afternoon mm. as late at night, yeah?
The next one is this coming Saturday. How many have transpired thus far?
Started last September, the first party.
Right.
Not this, so September 2014.
So it's 12 months now?
Yep.
Right. Yep. Well, congratulations and happy birthday for International Fisting Day. It's all celebration, celebration, celebration tonight here on Hide and Seek. Let's take a listen to just another little extract from my chat with the great team at Talking Puffy, where they invited me to talk about fisting.
What are we talking about? We're talking about putting your whole box and dice in the box and dice.
Okay, let's get some terminology clarified.
Yeah, because right. box and dice isn't really cutting it for me.
Fisting really means that you're taking the hand all the way to the wrist at the very least.
Right.
So if you just do four fingers up to the knuckle, you're just, you're vigorous
playing.
Fingering.
You're yeah. playing. Yeah. You're playing. Yeah.
Wow.
Right.
So it really is about going past the hand onto the wrist.
Yep.
That's a fist.
That's
but,
a fist.
But a fist is not what you would think like a boxing fist.
Oh my God.
A fist is more of what I call a duck bill.
Right.
Yes. So fingers outstretched.
So you make it like a cone.
Yes.
Fingers outstretched, hand relaxed, wrist relaxed. Very important.
And no jewelry.
Oh. Right.
Yeah. Take the knuckle dusters off, boys.
I'm not the artful dodger. Take your watch off.
We talk about the three C's.
The three C's?
Yeah. Communication.
Mm-hmm.
Clipped fingernails.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, I'm going to have to get some
And Crisco.
Crisco!
Yeah. See, up till then it was just like netball.
Actually, some leagues, not so different.
That is the last time I play wing attack.
You have to wear a bib for fisting.
Yeah. Oh.
That was a little conversation I had with the guys from Talking Puffy on episode 83. Warwick Emanuel, when I describe that there's no spontaneity in when it comes to fisting. There's a lot of preparation that takes place before anything gets done. But, you know, for people, most people, their first connection to fisting is porn.
Sure.
And you see none of the preparation and they dive straight in and none of the warm-up.
No.
Tell us your thoughts.
I think people need to be clear that there's a big distinction between what is presented in porn and the reality between two people. In terms of preparation, sure, but in terms of relaxing somebody, in terms of being able to communicate, being able to just work out whether it's going to work or not. And in porn, you'll see quite aggressive behaviour demonstrated. You don't see that the person has gone through a lot of preparation to be able to get to that point, a lot of skill to be able to get to that point. And it distorts, I think, for beginners.
And it's not everyone's style either.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Yeah, it's some of it is I can understand, like, you know, the fantasy side of it, but some of it is the way it's edited is quite confronting when you know what the real deal is, you know?
Sure.
Yeah. That's about getting the message out, isn't it? And, you know, to communicate that. Communication is very key, but again, if we're not talking about it, who knows and mistakes get made. And I tell you what, a mistake in the fisting realm is not a mistake you want to have.
No, it's not. You know, you're looking at potentially at someone's life. So it's something that needs to be approached really cautiously.
The flip side of that is it's the most intense, wonderful experience you could possibly ever have if, you know, you do it the right way.
It's mind-blowing.
Now, I've described two methodologies, the invitation method and the force method. the latter of which I do not prescribe to. And I guess that's about, again, understanding where you're at with the individual, with any individual, as two people having sex, and getting in the right space together.
Sure. And I think from a person who's toppings point of view, they need to be able to detect really small nuances in the bottom's body to be able to proceed or stay where they are or not go anywhere or how the bottom's actually responding, and the person can be responding in their speech and in their attitude quite differently to the way the person's body's responding, and so the top has to be able to distinguish that.
And that sometimes means asking that question verbally, because the way some people respond in ecstasy can be confusing.
Sure. Sure.
Mm.
Yes.
So that leads me to, I guess, safety. How do you navigate that space when you've got a room full of people at one of your parties?
We have the support of Down and Dirty. Down and Dirty provide us with nitrile gloves.
Excellent.
Non-latex condoms. We have basic rules around keeping the place clean, basically cleaning a space after you've finished with it, and plenty of posters around about washing hands.
And there's been quite a few reports, I guess, in the last 5 to also years, around concerns with hepatitis C and fisting, particularly for people who are HIV positive. That's, I guess, reinforced by why you use nitrile gloves and non-latex condoms. Well, is the information that you provided, what is it? Is it HIV information? Is it hepatitis information? What is it that you're putting up?
There's both. There's HIV prevention messages, and there's also hepatitis C prevention messages. The nitrile part and the non-latex part with fisting is that some of the lubricants that are used dissolve latex, so we need to be aware of that. We also, there's great hand wash facilities at the club, appropriate hand washers, plenty of bathroom space, and cleaners and disposable cloths and things to clean down areas. So to answer your question, we go for both strategies, HIV prevention messages and also the hepatitis C. And of course with fisting, I like to say that hands don't come. So the issue is probably more Hep C related than it is HIV related, you know. And so people need to be aware of prevention strategies for hepatitis C, particularly fisting is a traumatic sexual activity. Yeah, it can cause blood, and so
it doesn't have to, but it can.
It can, yeah, it can. So people need to be aware of that and take precautions. Yeah.
Absolutely. I guess if you're in that space, you've got to cloak things. Security, how do you do that?
Oh, there's cloaking there.
Right.
Cloaking and security for valuables and so forth. And, yeah, so there's no worries about that sort of thing. There's also the bathroom facilities for people who need to use them before they're going to play and so forth.
And describe the space for us, because there'll be people listening that have never been before. And describe what is the setup for Zone Rev, and we'll get to who goes later.
Okay, so Zone Red's held in the dungeon at Club 80 and in the basement. It's a large open space that's divided up into smaller areas. There are a number of private rooms, all with slings and some with beds as well. For the party, they're open because it's an open event rather than private. We also have 4 slings in a more open public space for those people who like to put on a show. And we've also got benches, fuck benches, a horse, quieter areas if people want to kind of get away from the rest of the group a little bit. Yeah. And it's dark as well, but not too dark, because you need to be able to see what you're doing.
Sure. And again, Who's on the invitation list? Is it an invitation list? Who can go to this thing?
No, it's open. It's an open event. Anyone can turn up on the day, get a ticket and attend. The ticket is used because the dungeon is closed off only to party members. So we don't have a passing group of people just coming along for a look. So
right. In that sense, it's whilst it's an open space, it's a private safe space.
Yes, indeed. Right. Yeah. Okay. So when I say people coming along for a look, we do have guys who are really interested, and all they want to do is come and watch. And that may be from learning, that might be their kink. But they'll come along, and not many, but some will come along and just watch. That's fine. That's different to people who aren't understanding of what's going on. Yeah. So the ticket gets you into the party, and afterwards or during, it also gets you access to the rest of Club 80. Yeah.
Joy
94.9. Joy 94.9 is proud to be the voice of the LGBTI communities, and we'd love to hear from you. It's time for our annual listener survey. So head to the Joy website and let us know what you love about this show. Yeah, just let us know what you love about this show and the station and all the presenters, including me. Now, complete the survey and you'll go into the draw to win a night for two at Joy sponsor Crown Metropole. It includes breakfast and valet parking, and it's worth over $500. Head to joy.org.au and have your say. Joy 94.9, your voice, your radio station.
Hide and seek.
Great topics, great radio.
Hide and seek.
Touching our community right around the nation.
Hide and seek.
Reaching far and wide. Stream us now. Joy 94.9.
You are with Dean Beck on Hide and Seek, and my guest is Warwick Emanuel, who runs Zone Red. It is a special night, afternoon, Saturday, once a month, for people who are into fisting. We've been talking about fisting, and Warwick, it's one of those things that everyone's at a different point in their journey. Everyone's skills are all, you know, different. Everyone has their own technique, and everyone has the own way that they like it to be done to them or that they like to do it. So on a skill level basis, do you have to be an experienced, do you have to have done it to turn up to your event?
You don't have to have done it. We have a lot of people with different skill levels. What I think is really important is the communication part of it. So at a party, if you're playing with somebody that you don't know, you need to really explain the skill level that you have and what you're expecting as well.
What if you have never done it, yeah, but you'd like to? Is it the sort of place that you would recommend someone go to for the first time? And they let, you know, someone know that it was their first time.
I think that's really up to the individual to be able to work that out. If it was me, I probably would be a little intimidated by turning up. I don't think there's a need to be.
Right.
I don't think there's a need to be at all. I think it's a matter of talking with people, yeah? And there'll be some guys who'll not want to play with somebody who is just beginning, and there'll be other guys who'll be really, really happy to help someone, yeah?
Right.
But you shouldn't just turn up to a fisting event and think, well, I'm going to take a fist today when you've never taken one before.
No, I was probably more thinking of if you were topping for the first time. But I think either way, as long as you were clear on that,
sure,
there would be people who would be okay with that.
If it was the first time you were topping, then I'd be looking for somebody who was a really experienced bottom, who would be quite comfortable in being able to give you guidance. And you'll also probably get another top coming along to give you guidance as well. So there'll be somebody working with you, if you like.
Now, you know, for some people, as you as we've indicated, it's a one-on-one thing. In an open space that, you know, it's a party, how do people navigate that?
How do they navigate it?
The one-in-all-in thing is not for all people.
No.
So
Then that sort of event probably isn't the best place to be if you're just wanting one-on-one. sure, you can be in a room, but the rooms are open, so you don't have a have control of privacy in that way. But if you were wanting
but
to...
But you might be an exhibitionist, for example.
Yes, if you're an exhibitionist, it's a perfect environment. Yeah.
One thing we haven't touched on is the importance of bringing your own lube to an event such as this. Why so?
Right. So we mentioned before about hepatitis C. When you're using somebody else's lube, you're also exposed to their body fluids, yeah, because unless it's a brand new can of lube. And so you should have your own, you shouldn't share it. And we've got a place to be able to label your lube as well. One can of lube looks the same as anyone else's, so you really should label it as well. And many years ago, there were rules of behaviour, if you like, and one of them was that if you're bottoming, you've got to be responsible for what's happening with your lube. You need to know where it is, and you need to know that other people aren't using it, because you don't want your lube contaminated with somebody else's body fluids either.
Well, the next Zone Red is this coming Saturday.
Yes.
Starts at 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock through till 7 o'clock.
Through till 7 o'clock. Do you have to turn up at 1 o'clock and
no?
You could turn up at 5 o'clock or 2 o'clock. Okay.
You could. I wouldn't turn up too late though. There are some guys who will arrive at the party, they'll play and achieve what they want to achieve and then leave. There'll be other guys who'll stay on for the entire time.
Sure.
But if you were wanting to be there when the most people were there, you'd probably get there 1:30, yeah?
And how many people turn up to these things?
Anywhere between 25 and 35,
okay.
Usually.
Yeah.
And some days it can be everyone staying for the entire event, and that's great. Other times it can be 35 people coming and going over
throughout
that time, so it appears to be less people, but that's what we're averaging, yeah.
Well, you've been doing it for 12 months now. Happy International Fisting Day to you.
Thank you, Dean.
Thank you very much for coming onto the show today. It was great to have you on such an auspicious occasion, both of us not knowing that that's what it was, but that's what it is. Warwick Emmanuel, who is running Zone Red at Club Buddy.
Hide and seek.
Hey, I've got to go. It is time for me to get out of here because it's time for me to get out of here. My name's Dean Beck. You can follow me on Twitter at Dean Beck on Air. And until next time, keep well, take care, bye-bye.
You can subscribe to Hide and Seek's podcast for free. Visit joy.org.au/hide-and-seek for more information. Suggest a topic, a guest, or provide feedback. Email hideandseek@joy.org.au. Hide and Seek is presented by Andrew the Apprentice, James Findlay and Avi Miller. Post-production by David Cheshire.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek. Hide and Seek.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.